Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Wednesday, gang, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, your host, with the silly beanie hat, Andy Goldstein. Yeah, I know it's silly, but it does keep my stupid hair in. Anyway, we begin today's podcast with the fallout from Man City comfortably getting through against Borussia Mönchengladbach in the Champions League, as annoyingly that quadruple looms large for the citizens. No one calls them that, I don't know why they're. Anyway, this was what was said on my show, Andy Goldstein Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. after that game finished.
Manchester City 2, Borussia Mönchengladbach 0. City progressed to the quarterfinals 4-0 on aggregate, and it was fairly routine, drama-free, just the way Pep would have wanted it at the Puskás Arena in Budapest.
We're playing good in terms of what we want. It's have a lot of control through the ball. So the best way to defend is have the ball, and we have it. And every pass or every movement have sense. We have some idea that everyone is in his position, and yeah, we are doing well.
Because we've seen City be so sensational week in, week out. Now that they're doing what Liverpool did. Now they're just winning. And maybe the football isn't as sparkly as it once was, but it's very, very effective. And they just keep winning and keep winning. And I think that hunger, that desire for Pep to win 2-3, could he win 4 trophies this season? I think that's why City are a slightly different animal.
What is failure for Man City this season? From here?
Well, from here, they've won the league. Not to pick up at least one more, possibly two more trophies.
Yeah, a League Cup and Premier League, still failure.
It doesn't... Well, I wouldn't say failure.
No, from here.
Yeah, but that's not failure, is it?
From here it is.
I don't know. I mean, failure seems a very harsh word to use considering when you've won the title.
They need that Champions League.
They do need the Champions League, and they know it.
As you said the other week, you can only be considered a great team.
Oh, they need it. They need that in the cabinet. Any club that really wants to be considered a worldwide brand, they've got to win that.
I just want to say about Man City winning the quadruple, I actually want them to do it.
You're a Spurs fan, and Spurs are playing them in the League Cup final.
I'm
and,
aware of that, and I'll tell you why.
You want Spurs to lose that game.
And I'll tell you why. Jose Mourinho has taken us back 15 years. The man's a dinosaur. He needs to go. He's ruining our fan base. And I think if we win the League Cup, he'll stay. And he'll become like this godlike figure to the fans.
I think I'm a special one.
Man City, for the good of our club, have to win the game. And I hope on that day, you know, how Chelsea sat Carlo Ancelotti in the tunnel. I hope we do the same to Mourinho. In the Wembley
Is it the same for Spurs about top four? If that keeps Jose in a job, do you want Spurs to finish fifth?
Yes, I do, yeah.
As a Chelsea fan, I respect everything they're doing in terms of football this year. They're probably going to do the quadruple.
Matt, you don't want them to do the quadruple, do you?
I do, yes.
No, you don't. Chelsea's still in two competitions. Why can't we win the FA Cup?
That's amazing.
We're still in it, Matt. We've got Sheffield United at the weekend. Everton might not see you out.
Yeah, we'll beat them. But when it comes to Man City right now, you've got to put you know.
Matt, you don't want them to do it.
He does. Matt, retract
that statement.
Don't retract it, Matt.
Honestly.
Matt, you've been in lockdown too long.
Matt, you want City to win the Champions League and the FA Cup, yeah?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Someone that always gives us a 10 out of 100 is Simon Johnson.
Simon. Hi, Simon.
Right, let's talk about the team you report on quite often. On the back page of the Mirror, Roman goes in hard. There's a picture of Haaland. And it looks like he's going, ooh, I'm going in hard here. Yeah. And there's a few other headlines that are suggesting that Chelsea are going to try and nick him from under United's noses.
Chelsea sort of fell out a little bit with Haaland's agent, Mino Raiola, only 4 years ago when they thought they had a deal done for Lukaku. And, of course, he ended up going to Jormal and the Manchester United at the 11th hour. And that certainly upset people at Chelsea. But understandably, they've quickly sort of forgotten this ill feeling.
Convenient.
Because Erling Haaland is his client. And, yeah, I mean, you put Haaland, not just in the Chelsea team, in any team in world football, and he needs to become a top team.
Now, England's Josh Butler has been speaking exclusively to TalkSport 2 after his unbeaten 83 helped them thrash India by 8 wickets in the third T20. We'll also hear from the former fast bowler Darren Goffey as England went 2-1 up in the series. Good goal, that, I remember. Yeah, 1-1 it was. Anyway, first up, this is Josh, not Stone, Butler. That's not his middle name. I'm just telling you it's not Josh Stone.
And he's smashed back over his head by Butler, who has timed this magnificently. That must be 15 rows back into the stand.
I think here, having a dry run at the World Cup, playing against India, where the World Cup is going to be, it's a great series for us to prepare for that World Cup in 7 months' time and find out a bit about ourselves as players and where we're at as a group.
There's so many who want to open the batting, whether it be Stokes, whether it be Hales, who's not in the squad at the moment, whether it be Bairstow. But Josh Butler, again, is just another one of those fantastic cricketers. When he gets in, as you can see, 73 off 43 deliveries. Pretty good, isn't it?
One slip for Wood as he goes into Rahul Bolden! Middle stump at 45 degrees. KL Rahul is in a horror trot at the moment. Mark Wood is sending out absolute beauties.
It's a great win for the side. I thought set up brilliantly in the India power play to take 3 wickets. You know, Mark Wood bowling with express pace again. And you know, those guys were fantastic. Anytime you take early wickets, really sets you up in a T20.
Now, TalkSport 2's exclusive commentary of the fourth T20 returns on Thursday afternoon. The team will be back from 12:30. Now, you will recall in the last episode it was confirmed that the mega fight between Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury is on, and they'll fight twice this year. Oh, hold on, don't say the ink isn't dry on the contract. Well, this is Frank Warren saying on Breakfast that it's not over the line 100% just yet. Well, there's my tickets done and dusted. Here's Mark Saggers once again to sum up how I'm feeling. Anyway, he's Frank Warren.
First thought, it weren't to be announced. We got an agreement. Everybody signed an agreement that there'd be no announcements unless they were joint announcements. And that came out of the blue yesterday. So we're all not happy, but it's out there now. There's nothing we can do about that. It's out there. But there's a long way to go yet, in as much as we've got to sort out venues. We've got a couple of venues we're looking at. And that's really where we are. I can't even add any more than that to it.
Joshua, where are you? Where are you, AJ? The Gypsy King has returned!
I think it's the biggest fight ever in British boxing, bar none. Well, firstly, you've got to look at it. You've got two guys hold all the Welsh versions of the world titles between them, both Brits, as I said, and it don't get no better than that. It's massive. It's a major fight. There's nothing compares with it. And I've been involved in some big fights over the years, but they pale into comparison of how enormous this fight is. And in world boxing, it's the same. Everybody wants to see it. You speak to anybody, you know, I speak to anybody over the pond or whatever, all they talk about is when's the fight going to be on. That's the first thing you get out of everybody. Yeah. This fight happening. Well, hopefully it's going to happen now, and everybody's wish will come true.
Now, last week, Parliament launched an inquiry into the link between sports and brain injury. Research has found that former professional footballers are 3.5 times more likely to die from a brain disease than the general population. On TalkSport's Game Day podcast feed, a special documentary details what needs to change to mitigate the risks. Former England captain Gary Lineker admitted that he didn't head the ball in training as he felt it would be damaging.
Every time you did finish it, the whole squad did it. So you got 20-odd players and you get one shot every 10 minutes. And that I had a reputation for not being very good at training. The problem was it didn't stimulate me and I found it boring. So why was I going to stand there and head loads of balls coming out? And we used to have training games, obviously, and the ball would be kicked on by goalkeepers. And to be honest, even in football matches, the big high balls from goalkeepers, I was never going to head one of those. Because as a striker, you've got to flick them on. So they often landed on the top of your head. So whenever the ball was kicked long, whether it be in training and indeed in matches, you wouldn't see me heading it. What I normally do would be leaning to the defender and then feign a foul or try and make them push me. so that I didn't have to head it. And I would also always deliberately miss them anyway. That was just the part of it. The only time I ever really, I think, properly headed the ball was if I thought I could score.
I mean, it's really hard for you to say, but would you change anything different if you were more aware of this now?
If I'd known what I knew now, I would have certainly limited the heading that I did when I was younger. No question about that. No question. Whether that would have made me not as good a footballer, whether I would have been not as good as heading the ball as I actually was, it's impossible to say. But yeah, of course I would.
That's Dementia and Football, TalkSport Support for Change, a documentary hosted by Charlie Webster on the Game Day podcast feed, also available via the TalkSport app. Now, Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel and defender Antonio Rudiger have addressed the media ahead of their game with Atletico Madrid tonight. Not Atletico, there's no H, Atletico Madrid tonight. I just said it was tonight. I've said tonight twice. Well, I've said it three times now. Anyway. Yeah, you know what it is. They both spoke about Timo Werner and his manager dismissed rumours that the German striker might leave in the summer.
I think he has no reason now to be frustrated because he did an amazing match against Liverpool, maybe his best match since I arrived. Then he had a good match against Everton with a lot of chances to score, which he normally is clinical enough and strong enough. He did not score. Okay, this sticks in a situation like this. This can affect his self-confidence, yeah, of course.
Unprecedented times and a Timo Werner goal. How about that? First since November the 7th for Werner.
It's normal. It's his first year away from Germany and things are not going maybe the way he wants it, obviously, because he's a goal scorer. He wants to score goals. He wants to back goals. And things are not coming in his way at the moment, but for me, it's important to just always let him know that someone is there for him, to help him, to assist him. And like this, sometimes in life, things are not going your way. Sometimes you have to fight through it.
Now, Jordan Pickford will miss England's three World Cup qualifiers this month after sustaining an abdominal muscle injury. So who's likely to be the third choice goalkeeper for England in next week's squad? On Drive, Adrian Durham suggested Freddie the Wood Woodman. Oh, this one's a keeper. Hold on. Isn't he Southgate's godson? Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Let me just mention this, because this is really interesting. The Swansea keeper, Freddie Woodman, he's on loan from Newcastle. He's brilliant at saving penalties. Okay, so let's bear that in mind. So if he goes as a third keeper, you bring him on for a shootout, maybe?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
But do you want some golden bit of information? Freddie Woodman, the Swansea keeper, his godfather is Gareth Southgate. What about that?
Wow.
How about that?
Now, that would be great if he picked him. Oh, I'd love it. He trusts him.
Yeah. So his dad was Andy Woodman, who's a keeper at Palace when Gareth Southgate was there. They were best friends.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. Freddie Woodman's played under 16, under 17, under 18, under 19, under 20, under 21 for England.
Flips it into around the penalty spot. Carter Vickers draws a brilliant save from Woodman. Tipped over the bar for a corner.
I will also say this about Freddie Woodman. I did actually say he should be the third keeper for the World Cup in 2018 because of his penalties record. He's a winner with England, right? Get this. He's won the under-17 European Championships with England. He's won the under-20 World Cup with England. He's won a World Cup, let me repeat. He won the Toulon tournament with England as well. He was the best keeper at that under-20 World Cup. He was in the best 11 at the Toulon tournament.
Pick him!
So, and he's with Swansea, who are looking for promotion.
What,
so
what were we even debating it for? Just pick him, Gareth. Pick your best mate, and son.
I just want to point out, I am not Freddie Woodman's agent at this point. It sounds like I am.
Rachel Blackmore has made history after becoming the first female jockey to win horse racing's champion hurdle. She guided favourite Honeysuckle to a dominant victory on the opening day of the Cheltenham Festival on TalkSport. And she said, understandably, it's an incredible moment.
Unbelievable! Honeysuckle, and is applauded by the crowd that is here, because that was devastating. She maintains her unbeaten record. Rachel Blackmore goes into record books in the champion hurdle with a sweet as you like victory.
This was never even a dream. It was so far from what I ever thought could happen in my life, to be in Cheltenham riding the winner of a champion hurdle. It's just so far removed from anything I ever thought could be possible.
And we finish with Ali McCoist on Breakfast with Big Al and how he was once punished for being late at Rangers.
You don't want to be doing anything wrong when Big Jock Wallace is in charge, Charlie. I tell the boys your story, Charlie.
he officially knocked me out with a punch. Right? But imagine that nowadays, mate. I promise you, big shot. He floored me with a right hook, mate. And then I can still look up. I can see him standing over me, and he said, "I'll see you in the morning." And I thought to myself, "Gee whiz, this is a warm up." You know what I mean? That's unbelievable. But Charlie, honestly, God, could you imagine that nowadays? Oh,
there was no PFA you could ring when you had to just take it on the chin.
It was 999, and you dialed. Never mind the PFA.
That's nearly it for a podcasty thing. Let me tell you about some live and exclusive national radio commentary you can hear from the Championship tonight from 7 p.m. as Nottingham Forest take on Norwich. That's it. Thanks for listening on the TalkSport app or wherever you get your Poddingtons from. I'm back on my show, Andy Goldstein, Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. alongside the Fun Boy at 10 o'clock. Obviously, I've already told you that in the title. Taking your calls after Chelsea get knocked out of the Champions League by Atletico. Not Atletico. A lot of people make. Anyway, there will be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast out first thing in the morning. So do what you've got to do to get it. Until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. But above all, have a great day and be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.